A tap on my shoulder the next evening causes me to nearly maim one of my best clients. My customer, Jet, is a man of few words and seriously opposed to small talk. We also differ greatly on what we call music, so, as is custom, the pair of us have in our own earbuds. Him with his preference of death metal, and me with a mix of just about anything else. I've been alive for quite a while, so my taste runs along the eclectic, but that is a genre of music I just can't seem to get into. My new receptionist, Della, takes a few steps back, either frightened at the expression on my face or just jumping because I found my feet in a not-so-nice way, brandishing a dirty tattoo machine. Not cool. I set down the machine so the needles won't stab anyone, flick off my gloves, and pop the earbud out, looking Della over for a split second. Medium brown hair pulled into a wispy yet complicated chignon, small build, fair skin so very different from my darker golden bronze. She's cute in a mesh of class and the everyday girl way that I will never be. I will always be different. Other. The blue hair and tattoos just make me feel more at home in my skin. Virgin-skinned and proper with a Frenchy Catalan accent that drives my male customers absolutely wild, I hired Della on the spot after searching for a receptionist for weeks. She'd whipped my appointments into shape and had me booked out into the next year using some sort of administrative sorcery I'd never be able to cobble together. And she makes the best damn coffee I've ever had. She is a quiet little mouse of gloriousness, and I don't want to upset that balance. But I feel like a first-rate idiot, especially since Della's green eyes are wide in fear. Whoops. Sorry. You startled me, I murmur apologetically, taking a deep breath to calm down. It's completely possible that the PTSD suffering person, me, should not be wearing earbuds in public. Noted.
So sorry. No va ser la maiva intencio es partante. You have a phone call.
She's flustered, pointing behind her to the phone. My first language was Catalan, but Della speaks the more modernized version of the one my mother spoke to me 400 years ago, and it isn't one I regularly use. Just like English, every language changes over time. I think she said, "It was not my intention to scare you," which is nice enough and makes me feel like a dick. Sure, I'll be right there. She nods and backs away, and I tap Jet on his meaty shoulder to let him know I'll be right back. He gives me a shrug, which could mean anything from sure to whatever to I hate you. Jet doesn't say much. I get to the fancy new phone Della requested so she could do her job properly and pick it up, waiting for her to press the button for whichever line my call is on. I didn't hold the super expensive phone request against her. Before, we only had a vintage rotary phone that would probably be at home in an old-timey whorehouse. Given the number of calls we get for appointments on a daily basis, her request for an upgrade wasn't too outrageous. She presses the third blinking light. How she remembers which one is which is a freaking miracle to me. And the voice of my best friend comes through the line. I'm not even sure he's really my best friend at all. Not sure he has ever really trusted me the way I did him once upon a time. Not sure if it hasn't just been a convenience for him to hang out with me all these years. I hope not, but hope is pretty much all I have at this point. His voice is husky as if he's just getting up, and I'm so happy to hear from him that it takes me a few words for me to wonder if the huskiness isn't from disuse, but from screaming.
Max! Max, Jesus, I'm so glad you're all right! You have to get—
His words are cut off as the power goes out. No more than a second passes from the lights spluttering out to my front picture window blowing in, glass flying everywhere right before the flames engulf the walls, the floor. I soon realize what Stryker's words should have been. They should have been, "Get out."